Praise God. Our main text for prayer school is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, particularly the first part of the verse, praying always with all prayer. That's King James translation. Another translation said, praying always with all manner of prayer. Another translation said, praying always with all kinds of prayer. Thank God for the different kinds of prayer. We have been talking about, and I want to do my best to conclude that today, you praying the prayer of faith for yourself, particularly concerning your own needs. I call it 7 steps to answered prayer. And I said that if one would faithfully follow these 7 steps, they could always be sure of an answer. Let's go over what the ground we've covered real carefully, and then we'll pick up and go on. The number one step is decide what you want from God. You know, it means a lot to be specific. I use this illustration quite frequently. Suppose you went down to one of the supermarkets and got one of those carts, started pushing it up and down the aisle, and all the morning you pushed that thing. Well, it came noontime, and by then, of course, you'd have some attention. Somebody might come and say, could we help you? Well, I just want some groceries. And you keep on pushing the cart. The middle of the afternoon comes. Somebody comes to see if they can help you. Well, I just wanted some groceries. Well, after a while, they'll call somebody to come and get you. But I tell you what you can do. You can send a little kid to the store and say, honey, run up there and get a loaf of bread and a box of tea, and they'll come back with it because they know what they want. They're specific. Amen? God wants us to be specific. He said in his word, Jesus himself said, your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of. But now that's not all of it. See, a lot of folks go that far and say, well, I know whatever I need, he'll send. But he won't. Not if you leave it right there. Read the rest of what Jesus said. Same statement. He said, your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. You're still supposed to ask him. So decide what you want from God and find the scriptures that definitely promise you these things. And get those promises, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart, not just in your mind. See, you can give mental assent to something, it won't work. It'll take time for you to meditate in the Word, for the Word to get in your heart. And then be ready to use those scriptures against the devil and demons that'll try to make you doubt God and rob you of what you want. Now, due to the fact that you've taken step number one, you're ready for step number two. And you need to take these steps in the very sequence that we give them to you. So step number two, ask God for the things you want. See, you've already decided what you wanted. You've already found scripture that promises to you or says it's yours. So now then ask God for the things you want and believe that you receive them. Remember Mark 11:24, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and ye shall have them. Believe God and not Satan. Believe the truth and not a lie. Then step number three. Let every thought and desire affirm that you've got what you ask. Never permit a mental picture of failure to be in your mind. If doubts persist, see, never doubt for a moment that you have what you ask. If doubts persist, and they will, Satan will see to it that they will. Then you resist it. Rebuke doubt, resist it. The Bible said resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And get your mind on the answer and constantly affirm that the promises of God are true and that prayer has been answered. Then I went on to say, eradicate every suggestion, image, vision, dream, impression, feeling, in fact, extirpate all thoughts that do not contribute to your faith that you have what you ask for. Now, you can entertain all the rest of them that do contribute to your faith. Amen. Then number four, you'll have to deal with your thought life because it can defeat you. Thoughts are governed by observation, associations, and teachings. Guard against every evil that comes into the mind. Remember that doubt is evil. The 10 spies that went in to spy out Canaan's land brought back an evil report. Well, what was the evil report? We can't take the land. Yet God said he'd give it to them. Amen. Caleb and Joshua, though, had a good report. They said, we're well able to take the land, for God's with us. Fear them not. Amen. Remember also, here in Philippians, we looked at it. We're going to look at it again, and probably again, and again, and again, and again. After that, the Holy Ghost said through the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, be careful for nothing, King James. That's a little blind to us. Another time they said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now notice the seventh verse, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren. See, he's finalizing what he's saying. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now notice that he said that in connection with talking about prayer. It's important what you think. And the Bible tells you exactly what to think. And as I said, thoughts are governed by observation and association and teaching. Guard against every evil that comes into the mind. And stay away from all places and things that do not support your affirmation that God has heard and answered prayer. Now that may mean that you'll have to stay away from some churches. Amen. Amen. Well, you realize that not many a battle is lost in some of these areas. You get around folks where they're so negative and always talking unbelief, and it'll just get on you, whether you like it or not. Now, some of you younger folks don't understand this, but some of us older folks do. Days gone by when we used to have wood stoves, you know, and coal stoves. Well, sometimes, you know, we'd say this, you can't handle a stove pipe without soot getting on you. Because, see, that pipe builds up on the inside, those pipes with soot from the cold and so on and so forth. And you can't be around unbelief without getting on you. That's the reason you need to be around people that are believers. Amen?
Amen.
And so, stay away from all places and things that do not support your affirmation that God has answered prayer. Then step number five, what are you going to think about then? Meditate constantly on the promises. See, you took step number one. Meditate constantly on the scriptures on which you base the answer to your prayer. Because if the scripture says it's yours, God's not going to tell you or promise you something that is not his will. It's amazing to me in so many. You know, nearly any of the affairs of life almost, you can find out what God's will is by going to his will. Were you ever present when they read a will, you know, the last testament and will of so-and-so? Well, the New Testament, praise God, that's what it is. It's the will of God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Confirmed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so many people, you know, not like one fella. But I know the person personally, myself. I know personally, I know exactly. Now think about that, a preacher, full gospel, tongue talker. Well, he got married, been married a couple of years, and he's going to fast and pray, see whether God wants him to stay with his wife or not. Yeah, he got the message to leave her. You know why? All his fasting and praying was of the devil. Yeah, fasting and praying is right. It can be of God. It can just be of the flesh, and it can be the devil. Are you out there?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, said that he fasted and prayed, went on 14-day fast, and after 14 days of fasting, said the Lord told him to send his wife back home. That's the will of God for him and her. I read in the Bible where Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. I guess it don't apply to the church wherever he is from or you are from, huh? I read there in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians where Paul said, I command, and yet not I, he said, the Lord commanded. Well, who's he to be telling me what to do? Well, I confessed him as my Lord. He wants to be Lord of your life then. Amen. Yet not I, but the Lord, he said, command me. Let not the wife depart from her husband. That's plain enough, isn't it? And if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. That man went right against the will of God and went right on preaching. I'd just soon hear a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn. I'd get more good out of the braying, because that's all the donkey can do is bray. I'm telling you the truth. Isn't that what the Word said? I said, isn't that what the Word said?
Yes.
Say it out loud.
The Word of God
is the will of God. Now, I'm just using that as an illustration. The same thing true concerning anything else the Word said. That's God's will for me.
Amen.
Well, for instance, when he said, be careful for nothing. Now, like I said, that's a little blind way we talk. Do not fret, have any anxiety about anything. That's God's will for me then, isn't it? That's God's will for me, not to fret, not to be anxious, not to worry about anything. Well, then all of my worrying and all of my fretting, then I'm out of the will of God. Yeah, y'all pray for me that I'll do the will of God. Well, start doing the Word then, and you're doing the will. The Word will just tell you just about every area of life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? All right, let's go on though. You found the scriptures that promise you the things you're praying for. Meditate constantly on those scriptures that you base the answer of your prayer on, you see. And then see yourself with what you've asked for. And make plans accordingly as if it were already a reality. Because after all, you remember Proverbs 4? Fourth chapter, 20th through the 21st verse. God said, my son, that means my daughter too, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, keep them in the midst of thine heart, let them not depart from before thine eyes, for they, my words, are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. But notice that part, let them not depart from before your eyes. Now, for instance, see, he said, attend to my words. Now, we use that in connection with healing because you wind up saying there, health to all your flesh. But right on the other hand, if whatever the word is, whatever the word or words of God are, and see, you found the scriptures. You took step number one. You found the scriptures that promise you the things you're praying for. Well, if God's word says it's yours, you're bound to see yourself with it. You know what whips a lot of people? See, the Bible said healing's ours. The Bible said himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Bible said by whose stripes ye were healed. The Bible said, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The fervent effects of prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, God's not going to tell you to pray for something you couldn't have. Wouldn't that be stupid? I don't believe God's stupid. He wouldn't tell you to pray for something that's not his will. Amen?
Amen.
He said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. He said also, is any sick among them, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith, save the sick, and Lord, raise him up. And so many, many scriptures on the subject of healing you would find. But you see what happened? People are prayed for a lot of times. And instead of believing and keep meditating on what the scripture says and see themselves with what the scripture says there, they keep looking from the net. Yeah, but the doctor said so and so. See what I mean? They see the wrong thing. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. I was holding a meeting in Port Arthur, Texas in 1952. Now, we just put on our own meeting. Like we do a lot of time, you know, just use the facilities of the First Assembly of God Church. It's not the First Assembly of God Church's meeting. It's our meeting. Several churches cooperate. We just use their facility because they had the largest auditorium there at that time. Well, now, I want to illustrate something to you. In that meeting, here came a man that worked, had a very responsible position. See, the Port Arthur Gulf Refinery there. Texaco refinery there. At that time, I don't know, they may have, Texaco still there, Gulf may have sold out, I don't know anyway. And so here's this man. He teaches a Bible class in the First Baptist Church in Port Arthur, Texas. And he's one of the top men of the Gulf Oil Company in that area, you see. So you know he had a man of some education, some intellect, so on. But he came to our meeting, and he brought two boys, his two sons. Now, in those days, I sat in a chair on the platform, you know, and would take them one by one, talk to them. When I talked to him, I found out, you know, well, who are you? I'm so-and-so. Well, I want to find out, is he Christian? Well, I'm a member of the First Baptist Church. I said, well, you could be a member here, right here, of this church, the First Assembly of God, but that wouldn't make you a Christian. Have you been born again? Do you know your child? Brother Hagin, he said, I know I'm born again. I know I'm a child of God. I said, that's fine. Good. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. I'll accept your testimony. Now, you came for healing for these two boys. Yes. I said, and these boys are 9 and 7 years of age. I said, now, you know, do you believe in divine healing? Brother Hagin, he said, I do. I sat right there. Somebody told me about this meeting, but he had his Bible. He said, I sat right there and followed you in every scripture you gave. He said, it's Bible. It's scripture. He said, I talked to my pastor about it. He said, well, we don't believe in that. We don't pray. You know, he just sort of prayed in the general. Well, God bless the sick. You know, remember the sick as though he's going to forget them. You know, that's about the extent of their praying, you know. But he said, it's in the Bible. Well, I said, what's wrong with these boys? Well, he said, here in Port Arthur, they couldn't, local doctors couldn't just, and of course, this is January 1952, decide. So they sent him over to that medical clinic over in New Orleans. What's the name of it? It's still in existence. It's very renowned, you know. And so he said, we sent the boys over there, and they finally said to me, after several weeks, well, we have some good news and bad news for you. Most of it's bad. At least the good news is this, we found out what's wrong with them. The bad news is that it's incurable. The bad news is that they'll be dead within 5 years. That's not much for boys 9 and 7, is it? Some way or another, something happened, and their body doesn't do right. Instead of growing and getting bigger, they get smaller. And so he said, I just came. See, they wanted me to bring them back every 3 months. They want to follow it. They want to study it, you know, because they don't know much about it. Very few people ever had it. And so he said, every time they measure their arm, measure around here, measure around here, measure around here, measure their leg. He said, every time the boys have shrunk a little more. In fact, this 9-year-old, there they were right in front of me, he's gone from a 9-year-old back down to the size of a 6-year-old. The 7-year-old had gone back down to the size of about a 4-year-old. And they said, they'll just die. They'll just die. There's nothing going to be done. Well, I said, the Lord will heal them. He said, I believe it. I laid my hands on it, cursed it, commanded him to be well. Now, you couldn't tell much about it right then, but see, I'm back in that church the next year. Then I'm back in that church 1954. That's 2 years later, preaching. He'd had the boys right back to the same doctor. Can't find a thing wrong with them. They started growing again. They're as big as they should be at their age. And now then him and his wife filled with the Holy Ghost. He's teaching a Bible class in the First Assembly of God Church instead of the First Baptist Church. Amen. Now, here's what I'll say to you. See? Incurable. Nobody's ever been that medical science knew anything about. But in the same meeting, now that's a Baptist man. In the same meeting, here's a Pentecostal lady. Now, she's not a member of that First Assembly. She's a member of another Assembly of God church there in the vicinity. She comes up in the same healing line. Not the same night, but you know what I mean, the same meeting in the healing line. Well, what'd you come for? Well, she began to tell me what all the doctors said was wrong with. Same clinic over there in New Orleans, you see. And so she'd been there, see, world-renowned doctors. And her condition's incurable. Well, the condition of the two boys was incurable. Terminal. They're going to be dead in a matter of a little while. She's going to be dead in a matter, a little longer than them, but not much longer, a few years maybe. And she's Pentecostal. Heard healing teach probably most all of her life. He's Baptist and never heard it till somebody told him about the meeting. He said, I've been coming, sitting back there following you, you know, with my Bible, marking my Bible. Well, I said, you know, inquired of her. Then, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a member in such and such Assembly of God Church. Well, I said, you could be a member of the First Church here. That wouldn't make you a Christian. Have you been born again? I know I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak with other tongues. Fine, I'll accept your testimony. I said, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Well, now, will you be healed now when I lay hands on? See, that's what I asked the Baptist man. See, he can believe for those boys. He's responsible for them. Now, when they get grown, they'll have to believe for themselves. But you see, he has the authority to do that because they're his children. Are you following me? Amen. And so I said to him, will they be healed? He said, Brother Hagin, they will be. They'll be healed. Just go ahead, put your hand on. And they were. I said to her, the Pentecostal woman in the same minute, will you be healed now as I lay my hands on you? She said, well, I don't think so. I said, why? Well, yeah, but now Dr. So-and-so, and he's a world-renowned doctor, and he said, see, she still sees herself with what the doctor said instead of seeing herself with what God said. You see what I'm saying to you? I talked to her a little more. I said, yes, but now hear the word of God. You know the word of God. Here, got my Bible, showed it to her. I know all them scriptures in there, Brother Hagin, but you know you can't never tell what might happen. I said, yes, you can tell what might happen. What will happen was just exactly what the word said if you will believe it. But every time when you get up there, she'd say, yeah, but Dr. So-and-so, and you know he's world renowned. I mean, he's a specialist in his field. Thank God, God's a specialist in his field too. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Jesus is a specialist in his field. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, but Dr. So-and-so. No, I don't think I'll be healed. Dr. So-and-so. I couldn't talk her out of it. Now, there's no use laying hands on her. You do just through courtesy. But you just might as well have laid your hands on her head and said, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. It done just as much good. I said it would have done just as much good. Now, why? Because she's listening. She's not attending to God's word. She's attending to the physician's word.
That's right.
She's inclined an ear to what he said.
That's right.
She sees herself with the way he said it is.
Yes,
she
right.
sees herself dead. No, I won't be healed. I'll die. But blessed be God. He said, let them not depart from before your eyes.
Yes.
Now, whatever it is, I'm just using healing as an illustration. But whatever it is you decided you want and you found scriptures that promises you those things. Well, then, if those scriptures don't depart from before your eyes, you're bound to see yourself with what God's word says is yours.
Yes.
See, take that step. Now then, you're ready for step number 6. All right. In your waking moments, think. We're right back to thinking again. What are you going to think on? Think on the greatness of God and his goodness. Think on the greatness of God and his goodness. Count your blessings and faith will increase. Lift your heart to God constantly in gratitude and increasing praise for what he has done and for what he is doing for you now. Now look again in that verse in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Do not fret. Have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now notice, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and praise go hand in hand. So, in your waking moments, think on the greatness of God and his goodness. Count your blessings, and faith will increase. Lift your heart to God constantly in gratitude. When you think of thanksgiving, don't you think of gratitude, being grateful? That's what you're giving thanks for, is because you are grateful. Gratitude and increasing praise. That's what thanksgiving is. Notice that he ties thanksgiving on the end of this. Do not fret, have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with. Prayer and supplication with. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now here's Keith. If I was to say to Keith, come and go with me. You understand he accompanies me. Or I say, I went with him to the store. Or I went with him to the bank. You understand that I'm right there. You don't understand that I'm 10 miles behind him. You don't understand that it was week after that he is at the bank that I went to the bank with him. No, you understand that I'm right along by his side. I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. Amen. Don't fret. Have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? It's gratitude, isn't it? It's praise, isn't it? It's thankfulness, isn't it? With thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I said, lift your heart to God constantly in gratitude and in increasing praise for what He has done and for what He's doing for you right now. You can't even see sometimes what He's doing right now, but you're thankful because you believe it. You're full of praise and gratitude because you believe it. Maintain that all things are possible to the believer. They are, aren't they? You know, I ran a little, while I'm talking, why don't you turn back here for just a moment to the ninth chapter of Mark. Ninth chapter of Mark. You remember when Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, the man came to him with his son. This son, you know, is oft time cast into the fire and into the waters and so on and so forth. And the man said to Jesus, the 22nd verse of the ninth chapter, if thou canst do anything, if thou canst do anything, have compassion. Same Greek word translated compassion is translated mercy. Have mercy on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, a few things are possible to him that believeth. No, thank God, all things. All things. All things. All things. All things. Well, that includes your case, doesn't it? And don't leave anybody. He didn't say all things but one. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now constantly maintain that. All things are possible to him that believeth. I remember I used to hold in church meetings from 1949 through 1962. I was in churches practically all the time. And I purposely would ask folks, you know, see, the Bible said with God all things are possible. How many of you believe that with God? Oh, everybody lifted. I mean, some of them lifted both hands. Well, I said, how many of you believe this scripture? All things are possible to him that believes. I never could get over half of the crowd to lift their hands. And then some of them put it up and back down real quick. They suddenly realized that puts responsibility on me. But it's still true. I mean, whether you believe it or you don't believe it, it's still true, isn't it? The divine Son of God said it. I said, the divine Son of God said it. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Right here it is. Mark 9:23. All things are possible. Glory to God. That means nothing then is impossible. All things are possible to him that believes. Constantly maintain that. See, you've already taken step number two, one and two back up there. You found the script. You decided what you wanted. You found the scriptures that promised it to you. And then you prayed and you believe I receive. Well, you're a believer then, aren't you?
Yes.
You're a believer, aren't you?
Amen.
Maintain all things are possible to him that believes. Stand your ground. Praise God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Say it out loud.
All things.
To him that believeth.
To him that believeth.
Say it again.
All things are possible to him that believeth.
Say it again.
All things are possible to him that believeth.
Say it again.
All things are possible to him that believeth.
One more time.
All things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we're getting right down now to the nitty gritty part.
Yes.
I mean, where the battle's either won or lost. We got out, we're coming now to step number seven, the last step that we take. Make every prayer relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. I'm going ahead and state my position first, and then we'll come back and comment on it. You can say, I do have faith, or I do believe that I have what I prayed for, just as easily as you can make statements of unbelief. It's entirely up to you. You can think thoughts of faith just as easily as you can think thoughts of doubt and unbelief. It's up to you. I heard one time, this is not all of it, but this is the tail end of a message in tongues, the interpretation of a message in tongues. Somebody had given the message in tongues and then the interpretation. And this was just the tail end of the interpretation. I never forgot it, registered on. It said it's thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat into victory. See, people are praying, God, give me the victory. Whether or not you have the victory is up to you. This is the victory that overcometh even our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. And so then, you can think faith thoughts just as easy as you can think thoughts of doubt and unbelief. You can speak faith words just as easy as you can speak negative words. It's thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads one out of defeat into victory. Now let's back up. Notice that first statement. I said, make every prayer relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. Now, Andrew Murray said, perhaps you read much out of Andrew Murray, wrote much on prayer. Andrew Murray said, if you prayed and you claimed, in other words, I believe God heard me, then you pray again, he said, don't ask for it in the same way you did the first time. Or pray about it the same way. Because if you do, he said, you're in unbelief. Stay in faith. Make it a statement of faith. In other words, he said, if you prayed about something, claim God heard you. I believe he heard me. I claim the answer. Thank you for it. Then he said, the next time you pray, if it hadn't materialized yet, don't ask for it. Just remind the Lord that you prayed, that you believe him, and thank him for the answer. See, you stayed in faith then. Are you following me now? Now, Smith Wigglesworth, you'll have to understand now what Wigglesworth said, where he's coming from, if you take his statement out of context, because there's different kinds of praying. He is talking about just this kind of praying. He said, if you prayed 7 times for any one thing, you prayed 6 times in unbelief. Now, you'll have to think about that a little bit and let that register on you. Are you listening to me now? Make every prayer, I said, relative to what you've asked, a statement of faith instead of unbelief. Now, let me give you some illustration. I know we were preaching one time in Pasadena, Texas, with Brother and Sister Goodman. And a lady from Canton, Texas, in East Texas, called long distance. Said, Brother Hagin, would it be all right for us to bring our little daughter down there? I think she's 6 years old, something like that. She has epilepsy. Now, she said, we are Methodist, but a good number of our church have received the baptism, go speak with other tongues, charismatic. And we have a charismatic prayer group here, and we've been studying some of your books, and our group has prayed and claimed the healing of this child. Would it still be all right to bring her? I said, yes, under the right conditions. Now, I won't have time to talk to you, but I said, bring the child on, but you tell the Lord before you go up there. See, now, remember what my statement was now. Don't let that leave you. Make every statement relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. I said, you say to the Lord before you go up, now, Lord, I'm not going up there like some of the rest of them to receive. I'm just going up there for Brother Hagin to agree with us that we have what we believe. See, that way they stayed in faith. I laid hands on the child. In fact, it's the only child in the line that I laid hands on. So I didn't meet them, but I knew it was them. Because she's holding this 6-year-old child up in her arms. Now, the next year, I was in Dallas speaking. A year from then. 12 months. And those folks came up from East Texas, was in the meeting. The daddy testified to the fact that the child, from the moment we laid hands on, had never had another epileptic seizure. 2 years later, I was preaching in a certain place. And they came. Near enough that they came. Well, it's 100 miles or more away. And they came, was in the meeting. And they testified again. Now the girl's 8 years old. They testified to the fact that she'd never had another epileptic seizure. But now I want to show you something. If they had said, well, we prayed and we believed God all right, but we didn't get any answer because she's still having a seizure. I believe I'll have Brother Hagin to pray for her and see if it'll work. The child would have not been healed. You see, they're still in unbelief. Can you see that? I was attending a convention one time, to be more explicit about it, month of June of 1943. And we were having this convention in one of the churches. That they had outgrown their church auditorium to seat about 800, 850. And right beside they had an auditorium that seat 2,000. So in both buildings, you could put in 2,850, or you crowd in easy enough, 3,000 people. And so in the daytime, the 2,000-seat auditorium handled people because, you know, nighttime local people come. In the daytime, just preachers and their wives mostly there, delegates. And so one of these day services, this 2,000-seat auditorium was virtually full. And we all knew, because we'd heard the news, that the pastor of this church, in which we were having that, had a heart attack and was in the hospital. Well, we were in and into the service, and the choir director, or whoever was leading singing, actually it wasn't, it was a minister, was leading singing, and I saw somebody go to the platform with a piece of paper and hand it to the main fella. And he got up and stopped the man. He said, "We just got word from the pastor's wife. The pastor of this church has slipped into a coma, unconscious. The doctors say he'll never regain consciousness. He'll die." And so this main man said, this district superintendent actually, he said, "I'm going to ask Brother Raymond T. Ritchie." Now, Brother Ritchie was alive those days. Raymond T. Ritchie had a healing ministry. "I'm going to ask Raymond T. Ritchie to come and lead us in prayer." Well, Brother Ritchie went to the platform, a little fella, but a booming voice. Couldn't hardly believe it when his voice came out. He's a little short guy, but boo-boo, I mean, just come out like a lion. And his favorite scripture was from Hebrews there, "We which do believe have entered into rest." Amen. See, when you believe, you enter into rest. See, when you believe, you enter into rest then. Nothing may not have seemed to happen, but you enter into rest because you believe. Amen. So, let's all stand. Let's all pray, he said. Well, we all stood. Everybody lift their voice. That many people, a couple of thousand people, sound like the sound of many rushing mighty waters. I understand it. We're praying for the man's healing. We're not praying that he'll die. We're praying that he'll live. We're praying that he'll be healed, that he is healed. Praise God. Amen. And so we all pray. Then Brother Ritchie said, "Now, how many?" And see, after all, what do you think Paul meant there when he said, "Let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving"? See, with thanksgiving. What do you mean? What do you think he's thanking God for? Because he didn't hear you? No, you're thanking God because you've got his word for it. He heard you. You're thanking God because you believe.
Yes.
"I believe, I receive." Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's a faith proposition. Amen. Are you following me? And so Brother Richard said, "How many of you believe God heard you?" Well, if we believe God heard us, we believe we've got the answer. Yes. So then he said, "Well, let's all lift our hands then and praise God for the answer." What is the answer to our prayer? Healing for the man, isn't it? Isn't it? And so we all lift our hands. Praise God for his healing, for the answer. Thank God. We've got no physical evidence. We can't see over there to the hospital. But we're going by what we believe. We walk by faith, not by sight, you know. Amen. Well, after a little while of praising God, everyone stopped praising God. And see, we were all standing up because we were singing. Everybody singing, you know, in congregation was singing. So Brother Ritchie turned and walked away. The man stepped back up here to start a course again. Brother Ritchie ran down the steps and then suddenly just whirled around and ran back up these steps. Man had already started to sing. Put his arm around the fella. Took the microphone, said, "How many of your folks are going to keep praying for Brother so-and-so?" I didn't lift my hand. I looked around. I'd say 99 and almost 99% of the crowd lift the hand is going to keep praying. He said, see, he wanted to teach him a lesson, and they never got it. Bless their darling hearts. I didn't lift my hand because I'm not going to keep praying for him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep thanking God and praising God for the answer.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
I said, are you following me? I said, are you following me?
Yes.
But preachers are all around me, on both sides of me, in front of them, behind me. I noticed all of them lifted their hand. I didn't lift mine. Now, why? Because I knew what faith was. He said, how many of them going to keep praying for him? They all lifted their hands as far as you could see. Except just one or two or three of us, maybe. He said, what do you want to do that for? I thought you already claimed you believed God heard you. See, if you believe God heard you, if you praise God for the answer, what do you want to keep praying for it for? You got back in unbelief, didn't you? See why it didn't work? Can you see that? Can you see that? I'm going real slow here because I want folks to get it. It's so important. Well, thank God he was healed. I heard him say 7 years later, I attended a camp meeting, and that pastor was one of the speakers there at the camp meeting in another state. And I heard that pastor say, I was in the hospital. I had this heart attack. I was under an oxygen tent. I passed out, you know, into a coma, went into a coma. Doctors told my wife he'll never regain consciousness. He's dying. But you see, he didn't know. He really, really left the wrong impression because he didn't know himself. Now listen to me real carefully now, because we're in some things that can be misconstrued if you don't keep your remarks where you said them. You can make somebody, by taking them out of context, you can make somebody say something they didn't say. No wonder Jesus said, take heed what you hear, and he also said, take heed how you hear. Well, now I heard this pastor 7 years afterwards say, this great convention was convened, and all these people prayed. It wasn't their prayers that did it at all, because they was in unbelief. There was four or five of us that got the answer for him. Because he said, they're unconscious in the hospital. Suddenly, while I was unconscious, Jesus, I saw him, stood right there by my bed. Said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, and reached out and touched me. And when he did, said, I woke up, I was healed, and said, I never had another bit of trouble with my heart in the last 7 years. Hallelujah. See, we could do that for him. He was unconscious. And he left the door open for us where we could. Now you understand this? We can pray the prayer of faith for folks, but their unbelief can nullify the effects of that faith, of our faith. I used to say it, I didn't know really why I said it, just knew it. Back there when I was just 21, 22 years old, pastoring. And maybe some member of my church, they wanted you to go pray for some member of their family, and they're already unconscious, and I said, would you go pray? Because we constantly had miracles and things happening, and I said, well, yeah, I'll go. And they'll be healed too if they haven't shut the door on me. Now, what do you mean shut the door? Well, before they became unconscious, if they haven't said the wrong things and made the wrong confession, are you following me? Now, see, we had an incident happen right here in Tulsa a few years ago. I was in healing school over here. And there was a young man. Actually, one time he worked for us. Our minister over on North Utica, therefore we moved out here. And he was in the hospital in a deep coma. Doctor said, you know, well, we believe in the city of faith. We believe in miracles, all right. But unless we have a miracle, he's dead. And they wanted me to come, so I went. His pastor's there. And so I'm just praying. I mean, we prayed. I mean, he's lying there unconscious. He don't hear a thing we're saying. He's in a deep coma. Doctor said some kind of, I don't know, I don't understand all the terms. I'm not a medical man. But some kind of comatose condition. Other words, doctor said he's not exactly alive. He's not exactly dead. He just, you know. And so suddenly I'm praying away. I don't know whether they interpreted my prayer or whether I'm prophesying. These words come out of my mouth. He's 39 years old. He'll be 40 years old in 4 months. Spiritual laws were set in motion long ago, and they cannot be reversed at this time. Release his spirit and let him come on home. Now, you understand this? Now, stop and let me explain something else before we go further. If he's conscious, I can't release his spirit. Nobody else can. Are you following me now? You'll have to get his agreement to release his spirit. But if he's unconscious, see, then he doesn't have that ability in this realm to release his spirit. Are you following me? So I had to come back out here. Actually, I think I went over there first after the morning class of teaching Rhema, and I came back for the afternoon healing school. And then I went back after. And so my wife asked me, did the Lord tell you anything? I told her, I said, what happened? She said, well, I think you ought to tell his pastor. So I told him. Because he had stayed there all that time, all those hours that pastor was there praying. And when I told him, he said, oh, I knew that all the time. I was just trying to change it. And sometimes just through, you know, natural desires, you try to change some things. And so he said, well, let's keep his spirit here then till his family all get here. Some came from Minnesota, some came from California. They got there. Now, I wasn't there at the time. But his pastor told me, he said, I didn't tell him anything you said. I just said, under the circumstances, I believe it's right and best that we just release his spirit and let him go on home. And after the family saw him, you know, of course, some of them spiritual, some of them not too spiritual, and so on, they said, well, all right. So his pastor told me, said, we gathered around the bed. Now, he's in this deep coma. But realize this, that though you're in a physically deep coma, your spirit can pick up things that's going on right. Pastor said, I said to him, Jim, we're going to release your spirit and let you go on home. When I said that, said, I saw him smile. Just a little faint smile. We released his spirit. Wasn't but a few minutes. I think 39 minutes till he's gone. Well, they called my wife. Now, they wanted us there when they visit, when they view, the family came to view his body. So we were there. And I was standing there by the casket with some of the family, with his brother. In fact, one of his brother looked almost like him. I mean, at a distance, you'd think he was looking at the other one. Just startling, almost. And so we moved back then with his brother back to the back of the room. Other of the family were there viewing the body. And his brother said to me, you know, one time we were just, you know, as boys, teenagers, 18, 19 years old, horsing around, you know, just going on, kidding, joking. Said, we got serious. And said, Jim said, you know, I'll never live to see 40. When he said that, that registered my spirit. I said, well, that's what the Lord meant. I told him about us praying, what came out of my mouth. The Lord said, spiritual laws were set in motion long ago, and they cannot be reversed at this time. Release your spirit and let him come on home. And so when I said that to him, then he said, actually, his brother was back then. He came back to God and came here and graduated from Rhema then. Praise God. But he said, I said, I understand now what the Lord was saying. And then he went up to his mother and began to tell her what I'd said, you know, spiritual. And she said, why, yeah. Said, he told me that all his life. Said, in fact, it wasn't the last time he visited. He said, I'll never live to see 40. 4 months, about 3.5 months, before his 40th birthday, he's dead. See, we're talking here in this lesson about you and decide what you want and you praying. But yet, right on the other hand, the prayer of faith does extend out to others. Because the Bible said, is any sick among them, call for the elders of the church, let them pray over them, Lord, throw in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith save the sick. Amen? Are you following me now?
Amen.
Now, you see, if people are conscious, see, we're getting off here now, but we're talking about you and your desires, but now, too many times we try to push something off on somebody else, you see, make our faith work for them. Now, like right here at Rhema, one of our Rhema students went home for Christmas. He came back after Christmas holidays. I taught a lesson here, went out through the back door and going across to the administration building, and he flagged me down and said, Brother Hagin, may I speak to you? I said, well, I'm in a hurry. Because I got something else to do, walk along beside me. Talk to me. Well, he blurted out, how come Uncle Charlie to die? I said, I don't know how come Uncle Charlie died. Didn't even know he's dead. Besides that, I don't even know who Uncle Charlie is. Well, he went on to explain that it was his uncle. He said, before I left for Christmas break, I got the word, you know, in the first part of December that he was ill in the hospital and critically ill. And it turned into prayer request here. In fact, the student body, at that time, they would take prayer requests sometime in some of those meetings on Tuesday and Thursday. And so he said, we all prayed. And he said, now, see, the thing about it is, they won't lay it off on you. Well, I mean, all I'm doing is just quoting Jesus' word. Didn't matter my word. He said, now you teach that, you know, when you pray, believe you receive and you'll have. I said, I sure do. That's right. I teach it because Jesus said it. It's not my words. Well, he said, I know I believe for Uncle Charlie's healing. I know I believe that he'd live and not die. And yet while I was at home at Christmas time, he died. He wants me to give him the answer. Well, the answer is obvious. I asked him, I said, what did Uncle Charlie want? Oh, said he said, see, after he went home for Christmas, you know, when he, of course, he had about 10 days off, he went to hospital to see him. He's conscious, you see. What did he want? He said, Uncle Charlie said, I want to go on home and be with the Lord. I said, thank God you got exactly what he desired.
Amen.
See, what things ever you desire, not what you desire for Uncle Charlie. Amen. Not what you desire for Aunt Lucy. Because if you could do that, if Aunt Lucy had any money, well, you could just desire that she'd give you half of it. And pray and believe and she'd do it. But she won't. So, you see, folks are depending sometimes on you. Well, if they're unconscious, you can pray for them if they didn't shut the door on you before they became unconscious. By that I mean get into unbelief or negative or make a confession like this man did for years. I'll never live to see 40. I'll never live to see 40. I'll never live to see 40. And he didn't live to see 40. Whosoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. He got in contact, in connection with a spiritual law, and that spiritual law worked for him. But that dear mother, bless her darling heart, been in Pentecost all her life, said, well, I didn't know any such things existed as spiritual laws. Certainly spiritual laws exist, just like natural laws exist. Amen. Now then, you see, when people use your thing, if they're conscious, you've got to get them into agreement with you. See, the Bible said, if two of you shall agree on earth to touch anything that, then it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, if people have given you, see, because if they're depending, they're conscious, all right, if you can just keep them neutral, that is out of unbelief, you can carry them sometimes on your faith. Are you listening to me? Now, I was holding a meeting there years ago in East Texas, Emory, Texas. Emory is the county seat of Raines County. Raines County is one of the smallest counties in Texas. Somebody said, I didn't know there was anything small in Texas. Yeah, some counties are smaller than others. And there's a little full gospel church, just a little frame building, August of 1952. But they had the county fair at the same time we was having this meeting. And one of the deputy sheriffs came by and he said, y'all got more people up here on the church grounds than they got down there at the fair. I mean, the building was full and the grounds were full of people. Things were happening. Miracles are taking place. I used to stay in the parsonage next door to the church and pray. Just miss the preliminaries, pray, and just go in fresh from the presence of God into the pulpit. So I came out of the back door of the parsonage and came in a door back behind the platform. There were some Sunday school rooms back there. And I came through one of them. But away back there where they couldn't even see me. See, the windows are up in August. No air conditioning, 1952. People standing 10, 12 feet deep all around the building. And out in front all the way back to the road. See? But way back there, those people could hear me, but they couldn't even see me because they're behind these windows here. It's back there where the Sunday school rooms are. I waited two people back there, 8 and 10 deep, you know, to get in the door. And just as I came in, there's a little lady came in the door and somebody saved her seat right down. See, there's three sections of seats. She came down the aisle over here and sat in the second pew from the front. Folks scooted over and gave her a seat. Otherwise, she couldn't find one because other people were standing around the wall. Well, the pastor said, we're going to kill two birds with one stone. We're going to take up the offering. The offering is Brother Hagin. And we're going to have this special song. Let's all stand and pray over the offering. When he stood up, this lady lifted her hand and said, Brother Jones, the pastor, said, I feel like we ought to pray for Sister Gray. Now, I suppose that Sister Gray is a member of the church. At least she's a Christian. She said, the reason I was late, the doctor just left there. See, I came in. The service didn't start to 7:45 at that time because we weren't on daylight same time anyway. We started 7:45. I came in about 10 minutes after. They had turned the service to be about 8:15, not later than 8:20. See, it's about 8:10 when we came in. She said, I was there. The doctor just left there at 8 o'clock. And he said she'll not live past midnight. Now, Brother Jones said, yes, I was there today to visit her. You know, unless God intervenes, she's going to die. Let's all pray. Well, I understand we're praying for a healing, wouldn't you? Now, remember my original statement, make every prayer relative to what you've asked a statement of faith. You do that for yourself. You do that in these other areas also. Now, the prayer of intercession has its place, but here is a Christian woman. She's depending on the prayers of the saints. She's depending on the prayer of faith to help her. Now, notice James 5:14 again. Is any sick among you? Let them call. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray of him, knowing the Lord, name of the Lord, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith. Everybody say the prayer of faith.
Prayer.
See, that's what we're talking about, is the prayer of faith. We're talking primarily here in this series of steps of you praying the prayer of faith for yourself. Decide what you want from God. But we got off on this because the prayer of faith will save the sick. Are you following me now? Will heal the sick. Now, is any sick among you? P.C. Nelson said, Dad Nelson said, that he was a Greek authority. In fact, in one of the secular magazines, the year that he went home to be with the Lord, 1942, the secular magazine said P.C. Nelson of Fort Worth, Texas, is the leading authority on the Greek language in the United States of America. He had 12 years of higher education. That means he went to college for 12 years. His major was linguistics. Nobody knew in America knew any more about languages than he did. He could write and read. I heard him say he could. He could write and read 32 different languages. He had me beat by 32. I scribble in English and read part of it. Amen. Now, Dad Nelson said the Greek here in this verse said, and remember the New Testament is written in Greek, that the word sick there denotes if anybody's past doing anything for themselves. You know, you can't get there. I said, you know, you can't get there. You can get so sick you can't do anything. I said, you can get so sick you can't do anything. Are you listening to me? He don't mean just to call from every little old sniffle, little headache. You ought to be able to get healed of that yourself. See, our people are really not correctly taught. And they keep them babies, you know. Little every time a baby cries, folks jump. No. Dad Nelson said, the Greek literally denotes, is any beyond helping themselves. Then let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and anoint the Lord in the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith, prayer of faith, prayer of faith. See, in other words, he got to the place he's totally dependent on them. I'll tell you the truth, I know. On this last trip we went out, I got poisoned on oysters, fresh oysters. The pastor and I both, down in Panama City. And I'm going to church, see, because we got that one night service there in Panama City, one of our Rhema graduates. And I'm getting ready and getting sicker all the time. I finally came out of the bathroom and I said to my wife, you know, I thought about in my 54 years, I've never missed a service. Boy, it looks like I'm going to miss that one. I'll be honest with you. I got to the place I couldn't do anything. Man, you can get so sick, you can't do anything. I said, you can get so sick, you can't do it. I got so sick, I said, well, I can't do anything. You'll have to help me. I was beyond going. I sat down on the bed. Well, she came over and laid one hand on my side, and my stomach was so swollen and so, I mean, it just as tight, like, you know, just tight. And I'd done all I could do. I couldn't do anything. I'll be honest with you. I was helpless. But she laid one hand on my stomach, one hand on my back, said, come out of him. Yeah. That's got to come out. That poison's got to come out. Come on up. Come on up. It started coming up. I jumped and ran to the bathroom. And I vomited about 3 times and got it out of there and went on and preached. But boy, I don't know what I'd done if I hadn't had there to help me, because I'll be honest with you, I couldn't do a thing. I just flat couldn't do a thing. I just got to the place, I couldn't do a thing. If you haven't been there, you'll get there sooner or later, so don't bother about it. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Thank God there's somebody there that could do something about it. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about now. See, I couldn't do it, but I gave her permission to do it. Amen. Well, that's the way Sister Gray was. She's just sick, and the doctor said she's dying. She wasn't unconscious, but she couldn't do it. She just gave the church permission to do it. Well, the pastor said, let's pray for Sister Gray. I understand they're praying for a healing, don't you? Yeah. I mean, we're not praying that she'd die, are we? No. What do we mean we're praying for Sister Gray? Doctor said she's going to die. We're sure not praying that she'd die by 10 o'clock instead of midnight, are we? No. Wouldn't you understand that we're praying for her healing?
Yes.
So we all prayed. Building full of people. People standing outside praying. Sound like the sound of many mighty rushing waters. Till one by one we cease to pray. And then the pastor said, you see, we do things sometimes just by rote. We do it by, you know, just aping, imitating. Our heart's not in it. Because we've seen it done before. Well, everybody believes you. God heard you. Lift your hand. I lifted my hand. I looked the crowd over. I'm sure the whole crowd lifted. As far as I can tell, it's 100%. Well, what does that mean, we believe God heard us? Don't that mean we believe we've got the answer? I said, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, Brother Jones said, let's all lift our hands and praise God for the answer. And we all lifted our hands with thanksgiving, thanking God for the healing of Sister Gray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And then everybody ceased praising God after a moment. And then he prayed over the offering. They took up the offering. Singers sang. Beautiful duet. I preached. We had the service. Went home. We only have a night service. The next night, the same time. I came through the door at the same time. Same time I came through the door, that little, and the crowd all around, that little lady came in. They saved a seat for her in the same spot. Scooted over. She sat down. The same place. Brother Jones is going to take up an offering again for me. They've got a special song. They're going to do both, you know, give me a little more time. This woman got up and said, Brother Jones, I feel like that we ought to pray for Sister Gray again. Now remember the thought. Make every prayer relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. See? She said, Dr. So-and-so called his name. He stopped by on the way to the office this morning. Said, you know, I live right next door there. And I was over there. And he stopped by on his way to the office. And he couldn't understand why they hadn't called him in the nighttime to pronounce her dead. But said the minute he began to examine her, I don't know what's wrong with her. Evidently something where you pass through a crisis. Because said he said, why, she's come out of it. She's passed the crisis. She's going to make it now. The doctor's just thrilled. Said, get her out of bed two or three times a day and sit. Not just she's weak. She can be healed. See, that doesn't mean all of her strength comes back to her. Are you listening to me? Not just she's weak. She's been sick in bed, bedfast, and past this crisis. Naturally, she's weak. But get her out of bed and set her up in the rocker two or three times a day. She's going to make it. The doctor's encouraged. Well, this lady said, you know, I helped them. I live right next door. We got her out of bed three times today and set her in the rocker one time for an hour, setting up because before she couldn't set up. But said, she's still terribly weak. Naturally, she would be. Now, we know God touched her. Let's pray that God complete the healing. That's unbelief. We didn't pray that God would halfway heal her. We didn't pray that God would a fourth of the way heal her. We didn't, and to accept that, then we accepted the fact that one touch from God didn't enough. Are you following me? You see how people get in unbelief and lose it? Yeah, Brother Jones said, he's standing at the pulpit. I was there to see her again today. She is terribly weak. Now, we know God touched her. Let's just pray that God will complete her healing. Now, when he said that, it's like somebody standing behind me. The Lord said to me, now they've taken her out of my hands. And she'll be dead in 3 days. Can you see where many churches, they wondered why it didn't work? They took people out of the hands of God. You say, what should they have done? And I should have been bold enough to get up there. I am now. I wasn't then. That's 36 years ago. I should have been bold enough to rush up there and put my arm around him and say, wait a minute. Wait, dear people. No, no. No, we prayed last night. We believe God. We've even got evidence, but we're not basing our faith on evidence that she's better, that the doctor said she's going to make it. Let's just keep praising God for the answer. See? Stay in faith. Let's keep thanking God for the answer. Let's keep praising God. See, make every statement relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. See, the statement they made was a statement of unbelief. We prayed last night. We thanked God for the answer, but it didn't work, so we got to do it over. Huh? Are you out there? I said, are you out there?
Yes.
No, you see, once you've taken that step, don't go back on it. Stand your ground. Because you see, it's your gospel right. It's your Bible right. It's your Holy Ghost right. It's your family right. It's your legal right to have what God's word says is yours. And you took step number one up there. We're talking about you individually now again. Found scripture that promised it to you. Stand your ground. Praise God, declare it's answered yours. I've had the devil to say to me, for instance, finances. I don't have the money. I don't have the money. You can't see it. Don't have it in my hand. Don't have it in my pocket. Don't have it in the bank. But I claimed it. The devil said, where's the money? You don't have it. See, now I could have signed in with him and made a statement of unbelief and the money would not have come. But you know what I said to the devil? I just smiled and said to him, my faith is giving substance to that. See, faith is giving substance. My faith is giving substance to the money. My faith is giving substance to the money. My faith. See, I just held that confession. Now, healing. You got serious symptoms. I've been there. Serious symptoms in your body. The devil said, you're not healed. You're still hurting. You can see. Can't you see? You feel. You're not healed. I said, my faith is giving substance to my healing. My faith is giving substance. I held fast to that. It wasn't an hour till every symptom disappeared. Just flew away like a bird flying. But you see, I could have said, well, I'm going to keep on praying till it comes. And it wouldn't have come because I'd gotten in an unbelief. I'd already made my confession, found the scripture, acted on it, said it's mine. Are you following me? Now then, when it comes to baby Christians, and sometimes even though people are older in the Lord, they're still baby in a lot of things. Sometimes you can carry them on your faith, and that's where intercession comes in. I was teaching the Full God Benjamin meeting, and a Presbyterian minister said to me, he had gotten the baptism, actually said to me, said, I graduated, you know, from seminary, had all my degrees, Dr. So-and-so, taught in Presbyterian seminary, pastored for 19 years, Presbyterian church. Some of my members got in these charismatic prayer groups started. Some of my members got going there, and I heard a lot of reports, and I want to straighten it out, so I thought I ought to go so I can hear it firsthand. And after hearing firsthand, then I'll know how to handle it, you see. So he said, I went to this charismatic prayer group. It's a home meeting, and there's a fellow teaching. And he taught the Bible just like it was true. That's what the Presbyterian, he said, I believe it contains some word of God, but most of it's the writings of man. Then he talked about being born again. And then he said, anybody here that hasn't been born again wants to lift in. This Presbyterian pastor, 19 years pastor, teacher, professor in their seminary, said, I lifted my hand. I said, whatever you folks talking about, I don't have. If it's available, I want it. Amen. And he said, I went forward and they prayed with me and I got born again. After 19 years, pastor of Presbyterian church. And so he said, then they said, you need something else. Boy, he said, I'm ready for anything now. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. His wife got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Now, he said, I didn't go back to that Presbyterian church. You don't dare go back there on Sunday morning. Because he said, you got these old staid Presbyterians Sunday morning. And I still, after these years, they all know I have the Holy Ghost. They all know I speak with tongues. I have a Pentecostal service on Sunday night. And we have a Pentecostal prayer meeting on Saturday night. But on Sunday morning, we have, because he said, we still got these people that we've got to try to get to heaven some way or another. I do emphasize the new birth, but we'll have a cold, staid Presbyterian meeting on Sunday morning because they're used to that. Anything else scares them. And then just get as little truth as you can into them. So we finally got about half of the church will come on Sunday night and talk with tongues. And we have tongue interpretation, prophecy, and people dancing in the spirit. A lot of good things happening in Presbyterian church. But he said, one of our young ladies, only 28 years old, with three little children. Had to have open heart surgery. And some way or another, in all of this, her heart stopped. They finally got it massaged, it got it to going again. But she's unconscious. The doctor said they didn't get oxygen to her brain. And if she could regain consciousness, which we don't think she will, you know, she wouldn't function right, you know, because. And so he said, she's unconscious. And so he said, you know, we're just new in this. We don't know anything. We just praying as best we could. Well, you know, under the circumstances, it might be best for her just to go on home. After all, if she is going to regain consciousness and she wouldn't want to live like that and her mind don't work right. But he said, in the nighttime, I was awakened. Now see, the Holy Ghost will lead you sometime. You can't make the Holy Ghost do anything. You can put on an act. Amen. But that don't make it real. So this Presbyterian pastor told me personally, he said, in the nighttime I was awakened and I heard somebody groaning. And I felt over the bed, my wife wasn't in bed, and I thought she got sick. And I heard these groanings. And so he said, I got out of bed, went up to the living room, and she was lying flat on her face and on her stomach, lying on the floor. And I thought, dear God, you know, she fainted, passed out. Just a groaning. I got down there beside her and said she wasn't only groaning, but said she was praying in tongues. She'd pray in tongues a little while and then just groan. Oh, oh, oh. And I thought, dear Lord, wonder what happened to her. He'd never seen anything like that. You know, a lot of Pentecostals don't even know when something like that happens. And so he said, I got down there beside her and began to pat her and said, honey, are you sick? What's the matter? And said, she said, nothing wrong with me. She said, I just got to think about the nighttime, about that young lady, member of our church, 28 years old, three little children. It's not right. Those little children need that mother. That husband needs that wife. She dies, he might marry again, but those children got a stepmother. There's nothing like, she may be a good woman, but there's nothing like having your own natural mother and daddy. And said, I just got so burdened, I got to groaning and praying. And I didn't want to disturb your rest, so I got up and come in here. Well, he said, I helped her pray for a while, but I got to carry on. And she said, I'm just going to pray. You go on. So he said, I went on back to bed, and she groaned and prayed all night long. And she did that for three nights. Inspired by the Holy Ghost to do it, see? Making intercession for that woman. Well, the woman's unconscious. She can't pray for herself. And even if she was conscious, they didn't know enough to tell her to believe or what to believe or how to believe. So if it's going to be done, see, the Holy Ghost knows the situation. We don't. See what I mean? And so he said that third morning after she, all night long, she'd pray. She'd rest some in the daytime. But after I'd get into bed, then she'd get to praying. She groaned and prayed all night long in tongues for three nights. And the third morning, I went to the hospital to see her. And when I went in, to my utter astonishment, that woman was not under an oxygen tent. That woman was sitting up in bed laughing and talking. And the doctor just scratching the head. They can't figure it out. And he told me, he said, today she's in our church. Mine just perfect. Perfectly all right. I understand what happened now. I understand what happened now, he said. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. But you know, you can't give yourself a spirit of intercessory prayer. Amen. Now, a lot of things, you can pray, you can intercede. You know, we had lessons on intercession. You can intercede with your own language about some things you know about. Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he? But right on the other hand, you see, we have the Holy Ghost to help us. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I've said sometimes, because see, in visiting certain people in the hospital, good people, saved people, filled with the Holy Ghost, even ministers. And yet I saw that in this area of faith, they don't have it. So I just simply said, if somebody doesn't get a burden of intercession, see, and I can't give it to them, and I can't give myself one. If somebody doesn't get a burden of intercession for that person, they're going to die. Well, either somebody didn't yield the Spirit, or else the Holy Ghost just didn't give anybody because they died. Are you listening to me? Now, once you prayed for somebody else and you've got them to believe, well, you stay in faith with them. Don't go back and keep praying over again the same thing, because you'll take them out of God's hands. Now, in some case, see, we have to depend on the Holy Ghost. We don't know as we ought to know. That's one of our infirmities. See, infirmities, sometimes we think it just means sickness. Well, infirmity literally means weaknesses. See, that's one of our weaknesses. We don't know for what to pray as we ought. We don't. We may think we know, but really we don't, because we don't know all the circumstances behind the situation and around the situation. God does. I said God does. We don't know who shut the door and who hadn't shut the door, who's left the door open. We don't know who may be unconscious, but they've already set in motion certain laws. They want to go on home. Now, I know I was visiting California, my wife and I, and here's a dear lady. I think she is 96. I knew who she was. Her son and daughter had been in the ministry for over 50 years and already retired because they're in their 70s, and she lived with them. Her grandchildren and even great-grandchildren are now in the ministry. She knew I was coming to visit some of her grandchildren, or her granddaughter. My wife and I, just a day or two between meetings. And so she said to him, because see, they had the doctor said, had called him. He said, oh, I'll just run out. Now, doctors ordinarily don't make house calls nowadays. See, this is just a few years ago. He said, I'll just run over there and see her instead of you trying to bring her in. So he brought her in. She's conscious, you see, but not feeling good. And they asked, well, what's the matter? He said, nothing. I mean, there's no disease or sickness. She's 96. Nothing. Her body's just worn out. She's just worn out. That's all. And so she said to him, had her daughter to call her granddaughter. The granddaughter's 40 some odd years old, near 50 again. Said, "You, grandma wants Brother Hagin to come pray for her." Well, the word was there before we got there. So we are there for a little while and visited with him. Said to him, I said, okay, let's go. So we got in the car and went. We got there. She's lying on the bed, but she was unconscious. And her daughter said, the last thing she said before she lapsed into unconsciousness was, I'm 96 or 97 in a few days, 90-something. Anyway. She said, how, Brother Hagin, to pray that I'll go on home? Well, I know that's what she desired. That's the door that she opened, you see what I mean, before she lapsed into unconsciousness. I'm just standing at the foot of the bed. She's unconscious. I just stood there and sort of held her toe in my hand, one of her feet. Said, Lord, dear grandma was wonderful. I knew her, great woman of God. But here she is, body worn out, no sickness and no disease. The doctor said to her, she don't have any kind of sickness. She don't have any kind of disease. Her body's worn out. She wants to come on home. Grant her request. I agree with her. I hadn't hardly got the words out of her mouth. She went home. Hallelujah. I said, 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 hallelujah. No, we've got to depend on the Holy Ghost in some of these cases because you don't know. You don't know. You may think you know, but you don't know. And I don't know. The Bible said we don't know. But thank God the Holy Ghost does know. And be conscious enough and sensitive enough to Him and with Him until you know when He's saying pray and when you know He's saying don't pray. I've had Him say to me, don't pray for certain people. I said, why? Well, they're going to go home. That's why. And He told me why they were. And some of them were just young people. Then sometimes He won't even tell you why. If He don't, it ain't any of your business. That doesn't do away with the fact that it belonged to us. Say it out loud. Healing belongs to us.
Healing belongs to us.
Faith works.
Faith works.
Prayer works.
Prayer works.
God's word works.
God's word works.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Make every statement relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. Amen.
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 Well, as you go, turn and shake hands with three people and say, I'm a believer, I'm not a doubter. Remember that all things are possible to him that believeth.